Growing up, I loved playing computer games, but I have not found something in adulthood that scratches that same itch. Video games don't do it. I can't use that controller. It's just not it for me. But oh my goodness, I am so glad I recently started playing June's Journey. Okay, June's Journey is like I Spy meets Carmen Sandiego, meets The Sims, meets horror movies. It's so wild and it's so, so fun to play. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game with a captivating detective story taking you back to the glamour of the 1920s with a diverse cast of characters. Each new scene takes you further through a thrilling murder mystery story that sets the main protagonist, June Parker, on a quest to solve the murder of her sister and uncover her family's many secrets. June is fabulous. She has a fabulous little hat and feather in her cap. She's at this family estate on this gorgeous island that you can decorate, which you know that I love to do. And then as you're going, you go into different rooms of the house. You find clues that are going to lead to the suspicious murder of June's sister and brother-in-law. It's so dark. Like, you're looking for clues inside of a murder scene photo. But also, all I want to do is find the trophy and the riding crop and the muddy footprint that might be a clue about, wait, was there another person there? It's so intriguing. It's so fun. I love playing it. At the end of the day, just sitting on the couch, you know, that state of mind where you're not ready to go to bed yet. You don't want to be watching TV anymore. It's sort of just background noise. I want to be looking around my little island for clues. And that's why I love having June's Journey. Right now, I'm in the chapter where we are really uncovering some salacious information. There seems to have been a third person there the night of the murder. And that is not what we believed at the beginning. So, you know, I'm ready to figure out more about this mystery third person because I think it might be the key to everything. And so you better believe I'm about to dive back in, and you can do just the same. Escape reality and immerse yourself in the world of June Parker. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hi, everybody. This week's episode is a release from our Patreon vault. This episode was originally released in July 2021, and we are now taking it out from behind a paywall and sharing it with the world. And we hope that you like it. And we hope that you had a nice holiday weekend. And we will be back next week with a regular episode.
This is Emily,
Henley,
and Sammy. And you're listening to Too Scary, Didn't Watch.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Too Scary, Didn't Watch. Bonus episode number 2 for the month of July.
Ooh, baby. Here we are.
We've arrived.
And you guys helped us pick our bonus episode for this second bonus episode of July. And we were doing a little theme of creatures and monsters, threw a little poll up on the Patreon, and you picked The Mist, which is an excellent choice.
Woo!
And I'm very excited to talk about it.
I'm very excited to hear about it.
What do you know about it, Emily?
Almost nothing. Like, maybe literally nothing.
Great.
Creatures are involved, I would imagine.
That's a safe to say.
And there's a lot of mist. I love fog. How do you feel about fog, Sammy?
I also love fog. I love most weather other than wind. If it's too windy.
Yes, I hate wind.
I don't like it.
I hate wind. Wow.
It gets stuff in your, blown in your face.
And your hair just gets all blown around and it's like, the air is really dry. And sometimes it makes your ears hurt. I hate wind. But I like mist. I like fog. I like how like moody it is. And often if it's misty and foggy, it's like very calm outside, and I imagine that's not totally the case in what I'm about to hear, but
yeah, I was gonna say
positive associations with mist.
Yeah, we'll see if that remains the case post hearing about this movie. Got to say that this is one of Jenna's favorite movies.
Wow.
She has been trying to get us to do this one for a long time. So she's very thrilled that we're doing it now. So thank you to everybody for picking it from Jenna. XO from Jenna.
XO Jenna. I don't even know. Yeah, I don't know when it came out. I don't know who's in it. Is it Stephen King? No. Yes? No.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So let me tell you about it. It came out in 2007. It is written and directed by Frank Darabont, based on a novella by Stephen King.
Oh, a novella.
A novella. I always
What does a novella by King mean? Like still 400 pages?
Yeah. Just like a regular book.
Yeah. Just a regular book where the font is like so small you need a magnifying glass. Yeah. No, it's a novella. It's a novella. Look how small it is.
Mm-hmm. Teeny tiny. It is starring Thomas Jane of Deep Blue Sea fame, Marcia Gay Harden, Laurie Holden, Andre Brower, Toby Jones, William Sadler, Jeffrey DeMunn, and Francis Sternhagen. It's a pretty good cast, and everyone's pretty good in it. I mean,
did you say what year it came out? Sorry.
2007.
Oh, that's more recent than I thought.
Yeah.
I thought this was like 90s.
Yeah, I kind of did too, but 2007.
Okay.
Frank Darabont is the guy that did The Walking Dead.
Oh, okay.
The Walking Dead. I feel like I put the emphasis.
The Walking Dead?
On the wrong part there. And so a lot of this cast is will return and collaborate with him again in The Walking Dead. The Walking Dead.
Oh, that's cool. The Walking Dead. The Walking Dead.
And it is available to rent right now for $3.99 most places and $3.80 on Amazon.
What?
So if you want a little discount.
Save 19 cents, baby. Thanks, Jeff.
He did one good thing.
Yeah, he did one good thing. He cut off 19 cents on the price of the mist.
Some trivia for us. Stephen King says that he was genuinely frightened by this adaptation of his novella, and Frank Darabont described that as the happiest moment of his career. That's got to be pretty fun, I guess.
Feeling like
I turned your thing into something that scared you.
I would love to scare Stephen King.
Me too. Let's find out where he lives.
What I mean is I just want to spook him. Let's go spook Stephen King.
During an action scene in the film, a man runs into a wire-rotating bookshelf in the grocery store, and if you look carefully, you can clearly see that all the books on the shelf are written by Stephen King. Kind of fun.
That is fun.
And this is the third film that Frank Darabont has adapted from Stephen King's work. The other two are The Shawshank Redemption and The Green Mile. So, first horror one, I would say.
Is this very stupid of me that I didn't know that those were Stephen King?
No, it is weird that he's also written some completely non-horror things. He also wrote Stand By Me, I believe.
Holy shit!
Yeah.
I thought he literally only did horror.
Mm-mm. He does some more drama. And Green Mile, at least, has some supernatural elements, but... Mm-hmm. I don't think the other two do, but yeah.
I've never seen any of those. Which is pretty crazy to admit.
I would say see Stand By Me if you're going to see any of them.
Not Shawshank.
I think Shawshank's a little overrated, personally. But I saw it much later in life. And
also,
later in life.
It's just... For me, I've never wanted to put myself... I'm just like, do I want to inhabit that world? I don't know that I do. I know that it will be emotional and uplifting and blah, blah, blah. But sometimes I'm like, I just don't want to feel all that.
Yeah. I really like The Green Mile. I'd say that would be my second one, but I haven't seen that.
Wow, folks, you heard it here first. Sammy hates Shawshank Redemption.
I don't know why. I didn't like it that much. I mean,
I love it.
I won't be seeing it again.
Wow.
Unless someone like really sits me down and is like, you must have really missed it the first time you watched it and you have to watch it again.
Have to watch it again.
Then maybe.
Interesting.
But I feel like once was enough for me.
Wow.
Oh, and then, yeah. So Jeffrey DeMunn, Melissa McBride, Lori Holden, Juan Gabriel Pareja, Sherry Dvorak, Sam Witwer, and Tiffany Morgan are all actors that are in this that then will appear in The Walking Dead.
Cool.
Thomas Jane was the first actor that Frank Darabont sent the script to. I imagine he was a huge Deep Blue Sea fan.
Mm.
And he also wanted Thomas Jane to play Rick Grimes on The Walking Dead.
Whoa!
I guess I could see it. Why not? I wonder why he said no. That's like a huge role that he must have turned down.
Yeah, man. If he said no, he's regretting it.
I bet he's kicking himself for that.
I gotta look at what Thomas Jane looks like right now. Oh, I could see, yeah, I could see it. I haven't seen The Walking Dead, to be fair, but he's got that, you know what I mean.
Andrew Lincoln has just, I mean, you know, when someone is the character, it becomes hard to picture someone else as the character. So I feel like Andrew Lincoln is a very good Rick Grimes, but I fell off The Walking Dead. I watched the first few seasons and it just keeps going and going.
Oh, Andrew Lincoln, I like his face. Like, I was about to be like, he's hot, and he is, but what I really actually mean is I like his face.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
I do. Some people have, like, faces that are just nice to look at.
His face is pleasing to my eyes. Okay, I'm sorry. This is not relevant to I'm looking up Andrew Lincoln. Did you know that his birth name is not Andrew Lincoln?
And
do you know what his birth name is?
Tell me.
I don't know if I can even say it. It's not that funny, but it just really shocked me. His name is Andrew James. Andrew James Clutterbuck.
Clutterbuck! You want to keep it Clutterbuck, huh?
How is the last name Clutterbuck? What is that?
That's very
funny. British shoe. Clutterbuck. How do you say that?
Clutterbuck.
Clutterbuck. Clutterbuck.
Andrew Clutterbuck.
Andrew Clutterbuck. Wow. Oh my God. That really shocked me. I'm sorry. I just saw the word Clutterbuck in it. Just look at it written sometime. Just look, like, write that word down and then look at it, and it's crazy looking. I love to learn. Okay. Back to this movie.
Yes, so Thomas Jane sat in for the editing process because he was interested to learn about it. And as an editor, that just really stresses me out. I hate people watching me edit more than anything.
Especially when you're watching someone edit yourself. Like, you're obviously going to have opinions about, like, oh, no, use this one. Or like, oh, you know, like, that's...
Yeah, but I guess Thomas Jane was about to embark on his directorial debut. And so he wanted to learn the process. And the editors said that he was a delight to have in the editing room. So I guess he wasn't a dick about it, which would be pretty crazy. But
it'd be crazy to request to be in the room and then make it awful for everyone.
Anyways, and this just made me laugh. This is Frank Darabont's shortest film to date, or at least whenever this trivia was written. I don't know, maybe he's had a shorter one since then, but this movie is 2 hours and 9 minutes long. So,
oh, buddy, you got to do shorter. That's not, you can't.
This being the shortest one, but I guess it makes sense that Shawshank and Green Mile are also very long. That rings a bell.
Right, yeah. That also is probably why I've always just been like, no. It's so much to ask. It's so much. If you're over 2 hours and 15 minutes, I'm like almost never going to watch your movie because I have to start early enough that it's like, I'm not going to start a 3-hour movie at 9 o'clock. That's madness.
That's insane. That's why you're never going to watch Magnolia. It's so long.
Oh, God. But I got to see that tiny ponytail.
Tom Cruise is magnificent in it, but it is one that I had on VHS and it was a 2 VHS movie.
Now, that being said, I have seen the extended editions of Lord of the Rings more than once. So what the fuck am I talking about? But
yeah,
you know, just a different kind of vibe.
It's different when it's like fantasy action.
Yeah.
I think we should skip the trailer because... I think going into this blind is gonna be more fun.
Ooh, okay, that's fun. Let's do it. I'm like very blind too.
I have tried a lot of meal kits in my day because I don't like to cook. I need as much help as I can get when it comes to meal times. But a lot of the kits I've tried you know, they leave a little something to be desired. They're not super great quality, or maybe there's not great variety, or they're feel just kind of unhealthy. So imagine my surprise when I found Marley Spoon and discovered it doesn't have to be that way. You can have it all. I'm so happy this podcast is sponsored by Marley Spoon. They created the best tasting meal kit money can buy, and with my code TOOSCARY, you can get up to 25 free meals. They have over 100 meals to choose from each week, so you will not be getting bored. Last night, I made a shrimp burrito bowl that was so good, and tonight I'm making a Shion-style cumin turkey burger with pickled veggies and five-spice fries. Excuse me, am I a five-star chef? You have any idea how boring all the stuff I usually make is? It's such a treat. And usually for something like this, I would pay probably $40 to have something delivered to me, and it would probably be gross and soggy by the time it got here anyways. So thank God for Marley Spoon. And you can customize many of the recipes. So whether you're looking for vegetarian, family-friendly, low-carb, they got you covered. They also have an online market of pantry essentials like snacks and ready-to-eat options. I'm telling you, you can have it all. I got a kit to make cookies in my first box. So experience the most personalized meal kit today with Marley Spoon. Head to marleyspoon.com/offer/too-scary and use code too scary for up to 25 free meals. That's right, up to 25 free meals with Marley Spoon. One last time, that's marleyspoon.com/offer/too-scary for up to 25 free meals. And make sure you use my promo code too scary so they know I sent you.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
So let's fucking go.
This is going to be good. Okay, so we start with our protagonist, Thomas Jane. His character's name is David, and we see him in a room in his house painting movie posters. There's like a painting of The Thing movie poster. He's painting something that I think is some reference to another Stephen King book, as a little tongue-in-cheek thing. But so we learn that he's a painter, and then a storm rolls in. A big storm starts lightning and thundering outside, and his wife and son run into the room with him, and they all together go down into the basement, or kind of like a tornado shelter type thing, and stay there till the storm passes. Next morning, they come back up, and a big tree has crashed through the window of that front room that he was painting in, and it like crashed right through his painting. So his painting is like broken in half. And he kind of says to his wife that he's going to have to extend the deadline for the commission. So he's like creating these posters for people, and he's like, they're gonna get impatient and just whip it up in Photoshop or something like that. I can't remember what he says, but it's just funny to me that he like paints these very intricate movie posters as a job that it never really is mentioned again.
I love the jobs of protagonists in movies. Mm-hmm. Specifically, I feel like horror movies is like maybe one person ever has had that job. Like, mm-hmm. One person literally ever has had enough money from painting commissioned movie posters to make a living off of it. But, like, honestly, maybe not even.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just also very funny when it has no purpose to the plot. Like, there's no reason for that to be.
Yeah, you could have given him
job.
A very normal job.
But so they say that the tree that crashed into their house is the tree that they had been asking their neighbor to cut down for a while, that had been kind of like looking like it was maybe going to fall down. And so David says, I'm going to go talk to him, get his insurance. His wife says, you know, don't start a fight. You know how he gets. And he's like, I'm not going to start a fight. Just going to get his insurance. And he does. He goes very nice to the neighbor. The neighbor is Andre Brower. And we quickly learn that he's like a very litigious, he was either a judge or a lawyer. And he's very much, they're like treading lightly with him. Because apparently he loves to sue people. And they're like, well, your tree crashed into our house. Like, can we just get your insurance? And the neighbor, he's pretty nice about it. I can't remember his name.
You can just call him Andre Brower.
I'll call him Andre Brower. Mm-hmm. They're just kind of assessing the damage everywhere. His house is fucked up too. And they have a boathouse that has also been completely like smashed. And they're just kind of assessing the property. And David says he's got to go into town to get some tools to start fixing things up. And Andre Brower says that he'd like to tag along. He needs stuff too. And they bring David's son, Billy, and they all drive into town to head to the like town grocery store. And this is in Maine. This is near where all of Stephen King's things are set, in the fictional town of Castle Rock. But I think this is actually just outside of Castle Rock. It's like an even smaller town. And as they're driving to the grocery store, they pass a bunch of army trucks heading the other direction, like military vehicles with a bunch of soldiers all decked out, and kind of are just like, wonder what's going on with them.
Never a good sign.
And Andre Brower says something like, oh, one of the women at the laundromat the other day said they've got some crashed flying saucer down there at the base and frozen alien bodies. And they all laugh like, haha, crazy lady. And
stupid laundry bitch.
And then they arrive at the grocery store, and there's a lot of characters in this movie, so I'll try to differentiate them enough, and I'm gonna gloss over some that don't matter so much. So we've got a cashier named Sally. She's young and pretty, and she's their apparently babysitter. He walks in and says, hey, Sally, Sarah and I, that's his wife. I've just made up her name. I think it might be Sarah, but might not. And she's like, Sarah and I wanted to go on a date later this week. Could you watch Billy? And she's like, yeah, no problem. So we're getting small town vibes, like everyone knows each other. And we see Ollie is the assistant manager of the store, and him and David are also kind of friends, like they are friendly with each other, they know each other. This is Toby Jones, and as he's kind of bagging groceries and they're walking past him, a woman named Mrs. Carmody walks in and kind of makes some snide comment about, I don't know, she's just in a bad mood and kind of being rude to people. This is Marcia Gay Harden, and Ollie and David kind of give each other a knowing look, like this is the town kind of bitchy lady. Or the lady that we all kind of avoid.
The town bitch. Oh god, the town bitch just walked in.
Oh man. And then three military guys come in, and they're kind of whispering to themselves, saying, you know, the bus leaves in 30 minutes. We got to hurry, get what we need and hurry. So we're getting the impression that the military kind of knows something that's going on that other people are not in the know about. Mm-hmm. We meet Mrs. Repler, who is an older woman that's very nice to David and Billy, just another kind of friend from town. And there's also a lot of out-of-towners in the grocery store. The grocery store is pretty full. It's probably 80 or so people. And as they're all kind of at the checkout lines, a bunch of cop cars and fire trucks start speeding by with the alarms going off. Billy says, Dad, is Mom okay? What's going on? David's trying to calm Billy down, like, it's fine, it's fine. And then the outdoor emergency alarm starts going off, that like, boo. Have you ever been in a place that has that?
Yes, never quite so scary as that. The closest thing I can think of is the like lightning alarm. Like growing up in South Florida, sometimes we would get the like lightning is really nearby alarm for like anybody who's in their pools or but never like I associate that sound with like at least from movies with like a tornado is coming. Mm-hmm. That scares the shit out of me. Every time there'd be the lightning one, you'd mainly just be, at least for me, you'd be like, oh man, fun's over.
Right.
Like,
right.
Gotta go inside. Not like you might die.
Right. Yeah. They had this alarm in San Francisco and they would run a test of the emergency outdoor alert system every week.
Like being in a big city.
Yeah. And I remember that it was every week. It was all the time.
That's crazy. Then you'll never believe it when it happens.
It would have like also a voice on a loudspeaker saying, this is a test of the emergency outdoor alarm system or whatever.
Jesus.
But just in watching this, I was like, oh yeah, I forgot that those exist because they definitely don't have that here in LA. Or at least if they do, they're saving it for when it counts.
Yeah. How would they even in a like, where would it have to come from? I mean, they do it on our phones now, I guess. Different.
That's true.
You know, I feel like lately we've gotten a lot of
emergency alerts via cell phone alert. Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Scary sound.
It's a scary sound. And then a man runs in. His name is Dan. And he runs in. He's got a bloody nose and some blood on his shirt. And he's screaming, there's something in the mist. Something in the mist. It took John Lee. And as he gets in, he starts saying like, close the doors, close the doors. And everyone seems like they were like, what's this guy's deal? A little, everyone's confused. And then we see.
Is this a person we like know, another town local or no?
I think so, yes. I think okay. David knows him, but everyone's kind of looking outside. So this, like a, you know, in this grocery store, the whole front of the grocery store is glass, so you can see out everywhere. It's just like you can see the full outside. So they're all looking in that direction and we see mist rolling in and there are people outside kind of pushing their shopping carts to their cars. And as it moves past them and they are kind of disappear into the mist, you see the people inside the grocery store looking and like in anticipation of what's going to happen. And then you do hear screams and just screaming outside. And so everyone just kind of freaks out, closes the doors, and the mist rolls in completely, making it so that they can't see anything outside of the front of the store. And they're all looking at each other, wondering what the fuck is going on. And then the whole building starts shaking like a big earthquake type thing, and it's knocking things off shelves. People are falling over and screaming. And then it stops. And a woman stands up and says, I can't stay here. I've got to get home to my kids. Like, I just left my kids while I ran to the store. Like, I need to get home. And Ollie is kind of taking a little bit of charge in the store and says, ma'am, I think we should stay here. Like Dan said, something might be in the mist. I think until we have a little bit more information, we should all just stay here just to be safe. And this woman's like, no, I can't. She's crying. She's like, you don't, like, my kids are alone. Like, I can't leave my kids. And she turns to everyone and says, won't somebody help see me home? Like, isn't anybody going to help me get home to my children? And nobody volunteers. And she kind of looks shocked and upset. And she's like, okay, well, I'm going. And they open the door, she tiptoes out and just kind of disappears into the mist. And we don't hear anything, but everyone's just looking after her, kind of, okay, well, hope she's okay.
That's such a crazy ass to be like, I'm going to go out. Anybody going to come with me? No, what? You don't have to do this.
It is crazy. It's like, lady, we don't, like, I get that you got to be with your kids, but people in this store have kids too. Like,
yeah, I don't gotta go with you.
Yeah, yeah, agreed. So someone else that's in this store is a woman named Amanda, who I think that it seems like David has kind of a flirtation with, but he also is like very clear about how much he loves his wife all the time. So I don't know, maybe they're just friends, but she's an attractive woman his age.
Mm.
And she kind of they're getting like a small group forming, and she's kind of joining the group, kind of also trying to calm Billy down. And now Mrs. Carmody, Marcia Gay Harden, starts saying to everyone it's Judgment Day, and she's a kind of religious fanatic, and she's like, it's here, Judgment Day's here, we need to all start settling our bets and get ready to meet our maker, like this is it. And we're all kind of rolling our eyes at her, and David says, you know, any out-of-towners should know that this is the crazy bitch in town. This is the town bitch. He doesn't say that. He says,
in case you were wondering.
But he does kind of say, you know, take what she's saying with a grain of salt. She's always like this. And
town bitch.
So the generator has gone off or something, like power's gone off. So a couple people go to the back of the store. There's the garage loading area that has that kind of metal roll down garage door, and they figure out that something's blocking the vent of the generator that is only accessible outside. And Thomas Jane is the first one to go into this garage, and he's there by himself, and there's something slowly starts banging on the metal garage door and pushing it in with a good amount of force. Like, it looks like a big thing, and he gets scared, kind of steps backward out of the garage and goes to a group of guys. It's Ollie and the store manager. Ollie's the assistant manager. The manager, and then these two guys in kind of work jumpsuits. I can't remember their names, but they're just people that were in the store that are kind of helping to take charge. And David runs out to this group and says, there's something in the garage. Did you guys hear that noise? Sounds like something big is out there. And they're all kind of, Ollie looks like he's taking him a little bit seriously, but the other guys are kind of like, come on, man, like there's nothing, which is like, come on, man. I think we can all agree that something is a little off. But the five of them go in to inspect, and then a young cashier, like teenage boy cashier, comes in too and is kind of trying to act tough and also making fun of David. And he's like, oh yeah, it's fine. And just a lot of male energy of like, we're not scared, this is fine. And David's starting to kind of freak out more and more, and Ollie is more on his side than the other guy's side, and he's saying like, maybe we should listen to David. And the teen kid says, you know, I'll go outside, it's not a big deal, open up the gate enough that I can fit out there, I'll go clear the grate, that's the vent. And the two guys in jumpsuits and the store manager are like, great, yeah, let's do that.
Great, let's let the kid go.
And David is, again, trying to get him to stop, saying, no, 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 don't go. They press it to open the garage about 2 feet, enough for him to be able to slide under. The mist starts creeping in this. It looks cool. I mean, mist is creepy. Like, it's like haunted house mist, just moving real slow. The fog of just like, it looks spooky. And it rolls in a bit, and they're all kind of watching, as expecting, is something going to happen? And then nothing does, and the two guys in jumpsuit work suits start laughing, like, see, there's nothing to worry about. And just then a big ass tentacle reaches under the garage door and grabs the teenage kid by the ankle, because he's closest to the door, because he was like about to go out, grabs him. David jumps to grab a hold of him so he doesn't get pulled out. And so David is holding him from the top. This tentacle is pulling him from the bottom. This is a big tentacle, and it has like spikes in it too. It's like a tentacle with teeth, spiky teeth.
Ew.
It's very nasty. And the kid is screaming in pain, like these spikes are stabbing into him as it's trying to pull him out. And then as he's in kind of a tug of war with this monster thing, we see a couple other tentacles creeping in on other sides.
Did you say tugger war?
Tug of war. I think I did say tugger, but tug of is what I meant. Tug of war.
Tug of war.
I think it's tug of war. It is a weird phrase.
I thought tug of war, but that would be of.
Yeah. Tug of war.
Tug of war.
Not tug, whatever it is, it's not tugger. That's wrong.
It's not a tugger war. Who's the best tugger? Let's find out.
I mean,
it should be a tugger war.
Tugger war kind of makes more sense.
every single podcast, I feel like lately, you're just in real time listening to our brains disintegrate. Like, I like don't know how to say or do anything anymore. Okay, great. So. Mm-hmm.
So
we're in a tug of war.
More tentacles are coming in from different.
Are there enough tentacles that it seems like they're from probably different creatures or more from the same? We don't know.
I think it's from one, but it's okay. A big creature.
Okay.
So they're kind of slithering in, like they're exploring the space, and everyone is not jumping in to help David. David's the only one that's trying to save this kid. Everyone else looks completely shocked and are basically frozen in fear. And we see the tentacle that's on the kid pull off, and it pulls off a huge chunk of skin with it, like a circular chunk, like it suctioned off a circle of skin or something.
Ew.
It's very gross. And then that same part of its tentacle slams down on the kid's chest, so it that you know it's gonna like pull that same thing off of his chest, and it does. It rips it off again, and it's just taking like circles of flesh off of his body.
Ew!
And he's screaming in pain, and he's getting pulled further and further out as this is happening. And then another tentacle grabs him and starts pulling him, and David's really trying to get him free. Ollie breaks the safety glass on an axe that's in the garage.
There we go.
And as he holds it back, or pulls it back as he's about to throw it down, the tentacle gets the better of he's the better tugger. And David loses grip, and so the kid starts sliding down as the axe is coming down, and it's just a stressful moment, and the kid gets pulled far enough that the axe just hits the ground, but it's like pretty close to hitting him right in the face.
Whew.
And the kid grabs onto the garage door and is clinging on, trying to pull back in. Again, David, God bless him, runs to try to grab him again, even though there's a lot of tentacles now, and I don't think I would be running closer towards them. But David does one last time, and then a huge tentacle that's kind of different than the other tentacles comes in.
Mommy tentacle.
It's a mama tentacle. And it looks like there's no spiky part on it. It's like just smooth on all edges. And it kind of looks as if it's smelling things. Like this is the head maybe or something. And it sniffs around and finds a bag of dog food. And then, and then as it gets the dog food, it opens up and we see it does have the same spiky teeth thing and a lot more of them. It just looks very bad. And it pops open this bag of dog food, starts eating that. And the two guys that were laughing at David earlier are now like pressing at the garage door thing to try to close the door. And the door starts closing, and we see the teenage kid just get pulled away. He loses his grip. David loses him, and he gets pulled away, screaming, disappears into the mist. And as the garage door is closing, all the tentacles pull out except for the main big one, which gets almost all the way out. But David grabs the axe and is able to cut a chunk of it off. Like a 2-foot chunk of tentacle, and then the gate closes, and we see this tentacle kind of react like, and then kind of go motionless. Then Oh, Jim is the name of the guy who was the biggest dick about this whole thing to David, who was kind of laughing at him. And Jim now has just this very shocked look on his face. He's like, I'm sorry. How was I supposed to know? How would I know? And David just starts beating the shit out of him. And he's like, I told you. Like, he's like, well, the kid wanted to go. He wanted to go. And he's like, kids are supposed to be stupid. You're not supposed to be stupid. You're the adult. And like, I was telling you this. And you like, now I have this kid's blood all over me because of fucking you. And so they're all standing there and kind of huffing and puffing of this crazy thing that's just happened. And David says, we can't tell anybody just yet. We need to get a little bit more information that we don't want to cause a panic. Like, nobody say anything yet. And so they go back into the main part of the grocery store, and Ollie and Jim and the other guy immediately go and grab beers off the shelf and start drinking beer, which I think is pretty funny. Mm-hmm. They're just like, whoo. Gotta have a beer.
That'll help.
And David starts saying, who do we think we should tell? Like, who can help the most? They're basically kind of thinking through each person's story, like, who would be the best person to have on our side to kind of bring this information to? And they decide Andre Brower would be a good one. And his name is Brent. I have it written here. So they decide they're going to tell Brent. They pull him over. And he's basically like, how stupid do you think I am? Like, I don't believe you. Like, that's crazy. And David says, we got a piece of the tentacle in the garage. You can go look at it, see for yourself. Don't take our word for it. He's like, I'm not doing that. We need to be focusing on getting out of here. There's more important things to do. I'm not playing into this little joke you guys are playing on me right now. Like, if you'll excuse me, I have to go figure out how to get out of here. And walks back towards the front of the store. Ollie points out that the whole front of the store is glass, and those big tentacles could easily break through that glass once they figure that out. And Brent is trying to gather people to leave, saying we're sitting ducks here. Our only chance of rescue is if we go out and get it ourselves. Like, if a group of us leave, we have a better chance. David's trying to discourage this. And in a last ditch effort to stop people from going out, he's like, okay, we saw a bunch of tentacles in the garage, killed the cashier kid. You guys can't go out there. And again, they're all laughing at him like, this can't be true. And again, he says, come with me, come look at the tentacle. And they take a small group of them and go and look at the tentacle. Someone touches it with the back of a broomstick and it reacts again as if it like comes back to life again for one last little scare. And then it shrivels up and kind of turns into mist, like a black oil and mist coming off of it. And so then they come out and they're like, okay, we do have a bit of a situation here. And they start basically barricading themselves in and piling up bags of dog food and fertilizer in front of the glass windows.
But we know it likes dog food.
That's true.
Don't make dog food more accessible. I guess maybe eat the dog food, not us, but we already know what it likes to eat.
It's true. Then we cut to Miss Carmody in the bathroom praying. She's lit herself a candle. She's praying. She's saying, you know, let me preach your word. Let me shine your light on me and I can save them. They can't all be bad. Some of them must be open to your teachings. And her performance in this is really, really good. She is giving it Oscar worthy. She's giving it her all here. This scene, I was just like, damn, Marcia Gay Harden is really fucking, she's not phoning this one in. And at this moment, Amanda walks in and says she has to use the bathroom. Miss Carmody looks like annoyed that she's just had her prayer interrupted and kind of gets up to leave. And Amanda says to her, you know, if you need anything, I know we're all under a lot of stress right now. This is a really scary situation. If you need a friend, I'm here for you. And Mrs. Carmody says, when I need a friend like you, I'll squat down and shit one out.
Very Christ-like. I know. Very Christ-like.
And it just reminded me, because this line is included. Did you ever watch that YouTube compilation of greatest movie insults? I don't remember why I've seen this. Basically, it's just a bunch of different movie insults edited together.
That's a really good one.
And this one's in it. And so I remember it from that. And another one that was in it that we've also seen was in Sleepaway Camp. Eat shit and die, Ricky. Eat shit and live.
Eat shit and live, Bill.
Reminded me of that.
That's really good.
So then Brent is again trying to be the rationalist, saying we've got to get out of here. Mrs. Carmody now is arguing with him as well, saying this is God's will. There's no escaping it. And she says the good book calls for blood. The cashier kid was first. Now the bill is due. As Abraham prepared to sacrifice his only son to prove his love for God, and she's just like preaching and getting really intense. And as she's doing this, Amanda just slaps her in the face, and Mrs. Carmody grabs her face in shock and looks, and there's a little bit of blood coming from her mouth, and she presses her finger against the blood and she says, "Another down payment. Another penny in the jar." Like, she is just drinking the Kool-Aid. She is a scary person to be trapped in this situation with, mm-hmm. I would say.
I wouldn't love to be in there with somebody who's like, well,
time
we're
for
gonna
blood
give
sacrifices.
Blood to God. Yeah, I'd be like, God, no.
Mm-hmm. We see the three military guys huddled together, and Billy goes up to them asking them if they can call their friends to come and save us. They say, you know, the cell phones aren't working. I guess, yeah, so we had cell phones in 2007. Their phones aren't working, mm-hmm. and they can't get in contact with them. Billy's just like very stressed. Billy, I'd say he looks actually a little older than 8, probably 10.
Okay. I was going to ask.
And so David's, you know, holding him, comforting him, and says, it's okay. Like, we're going to get out of here. It's going to be fine. Billy's saying, is mommy okay? Like, how do we know mommy's not okay? And he's like, starts crying. I'm sorry for when I was bad, when I didn't do my chores or whatever. Like, it's sad. He's very stressed. And kind of the core group of Ollie and David and Amanda, store manager, are huddled together again, trying to form some sort of a plan. Someone asks, do you sell guns in the store? Is there weapons that we have? He says, no, we don't sell guns. And Amanda pulls a handgun from her bag and says, like, my husband gave me this for self-defense. Like, I hate carrying it on me, but I have this with 2 full rounds of bullets. So 12 bullets total.
Just for self-defense.
Oh, and another line that made me laugh in here, when he asks if the store sells guns, he says, no, this isn't Los Angeles, which made me laugh because we also don't sell guns here.
We don't sell guns in our grocery stores. No, we don't.
Brent has, meanwhile, gathered a group of people who have agreed to his plan of going out to seek rescue. And it's a group of about 6 of them. He's like, we're going out. Don't try to convince us otherwise. And David says, okay, like, we're not going to stop you, but will you tie this rope around your waist so we can
love this shit.
See how make sure you get far enough. Brent won't do it, but another guy volunteers and says, I'll do it. And I'm not going with this, like, this group to seek rescue, but I'll go out to get, I also have a gun in my car. I have a shotgun that could be useful. So I'll go out and get that. It's like 300 feet away, and I'll tie that to my...
Ooh, we're gonna get some frayed rope back in our hands.
And so, yeah, they tie the rope around his waist, and as he's about to walk out, he turns to Mrs. Carmody and says, by the way, I believe in God too. I just don't think he's a bloodthirsty asshole. Which I liked that line.
Yeah.
So he goes out, and there's 3 or 4 of them kind of letting the rope go further and further, kind of releasing it as he walks. And then as he gets far enough, the rope starts whipping real fast, and you get that thing where it slices their palms because it moves too fast and they're trying to grab down to stop it. And David grabs like a shirt to wrap around the rope so he stops, it stops cutting his hands. And they're eventually able, or the rope eventually stops and then goes limp. And they start pulling it back in. And then as they get it further in, it's covered in blood. And they keep pulling it. So their hands, their bloody hands are now just grabbing this bloody rope. They were a little too...
Yeah, I feel like I would chalk it up to a loss at the end of this rope.
They're like too loosey-goosey with this rope. And one of them, after having held onto the bloody rope, then also puts his bloody hand over his mouth, like in a gasp, like, and I'm like, stop getting this guy's blood all over everything. But anyway, so they pull it in far enough, and we see at the end of the rope just a lower half of a body. So
ew.
His whole top half of the body is gone. Everyone inside starts screaming.
Yeah.
It's getting dark now. Mrs. Carmody is saying, like, when night approaches, that's when the blood sacrifices will begin. That's when he'll take.
They've begun.
Yeah. And we get a sense in here that Sally and one of the military guys have some sort of personal romantic history. He comes up to her. He's like, how are you doing? And they're kind of look like they have some sort of history. And as it gets dark, they start turning on lights in the store. And as they turn on lights, they hear something outside and a huge insect flies and lands on the window, the front glass of the store. And it's probably about 2 foot long fly looking thing. It's a huge flying insect. And then more of them start landing on the front glass of the window.
Because the light.
And Ollie says they're attracted to the light. Turn off the light. But
yeah,
the store's a little too big and other people on the other side of the store don't hear that. And so it's Jim actually who's turning on more and more lights in the store. Like, turn these on, turn these on. These are like emergency lights type things. So they're really bright. And he's turning on more and more. And as the people in the front of the store are looking very scared at these insects, then we hear this screech and a bigger creature fly down to eat one of the insect bugs that looks, it looks like a pterodactyl type thing. It's like a flying, it's like a bird monster thing. And and then these bird things start flying into the window to grab off the bugs, but just the impact of them, the glass starts to crack. It starts slowly breaking each time one of them flies into the window, and eventually...
So there's all sorts of weird shit in this mist.
Mm-hmm. And eventually one of the panes of glass completely shatters, leaving a big hole in the front of the store for things to fly in. And first, the little insects start flying in, and... Amanda... It has like a rake for defense and hits one of them down with a rake and stomps on it, and she's able to kill it. And then one flies and lands on Sally and stings her in the neck. Like, its little butt comes up and stings her, and then it flies off. And she grabs at her neck and falls to her knees, and the military guy runs up like, Sally, are you okay? And she's clearly going into some sort of shock, having some sort of reaction. Then we see one land on Mrs. Carmody, and she kind of freezes and looks at it and then just prays and says, my life for you, your will be done, basically. I trust you, God, do what you must do. And the bug kind of sniffs around her or whatever and then flies off. And she's like so validated now, like, yes,
no.
God is on my side. I'm right about everything. And then we cut back to Sally's neck is now swollen up like a fucking watermelon. And she is dying of like anaphylactic shock or whatever. Is that what that's called?
Yeah.
And this military guy is basically at her side holding her hand while she dies. And then she does die. Mm. Billy at this moment is being watched by another lady in the store. As David and Ollie are kind of running around with sticks and little makeshift weapons that they're trying to kill these things with. They've dipped mops in lighter fluid and nice. Lit them. And so they're lighting them on fire. But then as one guy is running with a mop, he knocks over the bucket of lighter fluid and falls into the lighter fluid, dropping his own lit thing on him. So he catches on fire. And it's just mayhem inside the store. The flying things are in here now. They land on someone and basically rip this guy's throat out. It's bad. And Billy gets away from the woman that's watching him. She kind of is trying to, they're hiding in one of the aisles. And Billy's like, I gotta, it's like, Daddy, where's Daddy? And runs into the, a middle walkway. And there's one of the big bird monster things basically facing down to, facing right at him, like it's about to get him. David walks into this same walkway at that moment and sees Ollie also walk behind this guy. And Ollie has the gun, and Ollie points the gun, and David, right at the last moment, is able to grab Billy and jump into a different aisle so that Ollie can shoot the bird without also shooting them, and is able to shoot and kill that one.
Mm.
I think that just they're eventually able to kill all of the creatures that got into the store, but with quite a few casualties on their end as well. And
there's still a big hole.
I think they probably try to put cardboard over it or something, but things eventually calm down and they're able to regroup and assess what's happened. And they have the guy who caught himself on fire in laid down in kind of the back room area. And
he's not dead,
but he is absolutely covered in third degree burns. And he is saying, where's the gun? Please kill me. He's like, you don't have to do it. I'll kill myself. Like, I've never felt such pain. Like, please just kill me, kill me, kill me. And they won't. They're like, no, there's a pharmacy next door. We need to go get medical supplies and we can get antibiotics. And painkillers, like, you're going to be okay. Someone says, I think it's Ollie who says, you want to go out there to go to the pharmacy? And he says, well, the pharmacy is the first stop. And then we need to start thinking about how we're actually going to get out of here, because we have our own fucking Jim Jones in here. And that's like going to get worse. And we don't want to be in here. She's got a few people convinced, Mrs. Carmody, of her nonsense. And we don't want to be here when she starts getting more people on her side. Like, there's going to be basically there's going to be just as much danger in here as there is out there when she starts convincing people that blood sacrifices are the only thing that can save people.
Yeah, that is not going to be good.
Not going to be good. And this is where they have their big kind of moral talk. It's like there's a lot of dialogue in this movie. And I think it's mostly good, but this is like a little on the nose where Amanda comes in and she says, I will not accept this. People are mostly like inherently basically good. And there's this very like talk of like, people are good when there are rules and you can call 911. And when you take that away and people are scared, like the breakdown of society happens a lot faster than you think. So basically their plan is...
All right, you guys, I'm here again to talk to you about Skims, except this time not about their underwear, this time about their t-shirts. Have you guys tried their t-shirts? Because I hadn't until recently, and holy shit, I have been on the quest to find the perfect t-shirt for my entire adult life. And little did I know, they were just hiding at skims.com. So I have their cotton jersey long sleeve t-shirt in kind of this like deep blue, gorgeous color. And it's a very form-fitting t-shirt that's extremely flattering. I've worn it over and over and over again since I got it. And it really holds up in the wash. You can just throw it in the washing machine, holds up, keeps its shape. The quality of the fabric is so good. I also have the boyfriend t-shirt. That one's so cozy, more relaxed. I just am obsessed with them. And now I want all of them. So I will slowly be amassing my collection of Skims t-shirts for the rest of my goddamn life. Anyway, so I really can't recommend them enough. Go to skims.com to shop them, and they're available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. Plus, you get free shipping on orders over $75. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know that Too Scary Didn't Watch sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select Too Scary Didn't Watch in the drop-down menu that follows.
My mom has had a pretty wild life, a lot of interesting stuff. She was in a couple popular bands in South Africa in the 80s. She's traveled all around the world, and she is so full of stories that I'm still finding out new things about her. So this Mother's Day, I know just what to get her. It's called Storyworth, and Storyworth helps you preserve those memories and stories from your mom or mother figure for years to come. Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a question. You can help choose the questions if you'd like. Some that I've asked my mom are, what was your first boss like? What were your favorite toys as a child? And all they need to do is respond to the email with a story. It can be long or short. They can even include pictures if they want. Sky's the limit. So you can enjoy their retelling of your favorite stories and new stories you've never heard before. After a year, Storyworth compiles all their stories into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come. I love this. I love having these kinds of physical items, whether it's a journal or a photo book. I know we can have all this stuff on our phones now or the computer, but it's just not the same. Having something actually tangible is just the best. So give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift that you'll all cherish for years, Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/too scary. That's storyworth.com/too scary to save $10 on your first purchase.
They're going to start by going to the pharmacy, and then they're going to actually get the fuck out of there. As they're going to head to the pharmacy, they walk to the front of the store, and Mrs. Carmody is standing there saying, "You can't leave. You'll bring them right to us." And there's a few people now that are definitely following her line of thinking that are also saying you can't go. Tensions are escalating. People are screaming at each other. And then Mrs. Carmody is like really yelling. And Mrs. Repler, the older woman, throws a can of peas right at her head. Looks like it really hurts. And Mrs. Carmody is like, "What the, like, you can't do that." And Mrs. Repler says, "Stoning people's fine. They do it in the Bible." That made me laugh. And she said, Mrs. Repler says, "I've got plenty of cans of peas. So either shut your trap and let us leave, or or I'm going to keep stoning you with cans of peas." And so they they let them leave. It's a group of about eight of them or so. It's Mrs. Repler, Amanda, David, Ollie, Jim, and Dan, that guy that ran in the beginning. And so they group together and head to the pharmacy. They've got the gun and some other makeshift weapons, and they get into the pharmacy, and it looks creepy in there. The windows are all broken in there, so the mist is kind of in there, not super strong, like they can see everything fine, but it just looks a lot creepier. All the lights are off. It's creepier in there than it is in the grocery store for sure. They go into the pharmacy or hop the little counter to get to the back where all the medications are.
What time of, I guess now it's nighttime, but it's interesting that there was nobody trapped in the pharmacy.
Well,
when the mist came in.
Well, we don't know yet.
Have I asked the right questions?
It seems empty now.
Oh.
But then as they're in there, they start hearing some rustling and like rattling almost like a rattlesnake. And you see the ones closest to the noise hear it and start getting really unsettled. David can't hear it. He's a little further away. And it's Jim that's closest. And Jim says, "You guys, let's hurry it up. I hear something fucking weird." So they get the medications they need. They hop back over the counter. Then we see Jim look up towards the ceiling. And there is a person basically wrapped in like spider web, like a cocoon of web up on the corner of the in the corner of the ceiling. And I really love this part. Jim goes, "Oh God, oh no, 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 oh God, no." Like he's just like so stressed. But it really made me laugh. I was like, that's exactly right. You nailed it.
You oh God, nailed oh, no. it. Oh, oh no, God, no, no, oh God, no, oh God, oh God. No, no, no.
And he's backing away from it and he backs into another body wrapped in web. That that a little like spider claw pokes out of and pokes into Jim like a little stab with a little spider claw, and he whips around and looks at what has just stabbed him, and it's another military guy, not one of the ones that was in the grocery store, but just another military person. And the military person says to him, he's still half alive, basically cocooned and still alive. And he says, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry." And like a spider is like coming out of him. And he's like, "I'm so sorry. Like I can feel it. And I can feel them inside of me. I can feel it." This part's so fucking gross.
Ew.
And he's saying, "Help me, help me."
Ew.
A web shoots out of him. And David watches this web land on the ground, and the webs are basically acid. It's burning into the ground, burning through the ground. And so then these webs start shooting and they all have to dodge the webs. And then we see the guy's face, the military guy who's wrapped in the web. We see his face start moving, like little lumps in his face moving around.
Ew.
And then one bursts open and a spider crawls out of it. And one bursts on the other side, a spider crawls out of that. And spiders are just bursting out of his face.
Ew.
Ooh, it's so gross. And then we see a bigger spider, like on a shelf in aisle somewhere, jump out at one of the other guys that's there and land on its face like alien style and start killing him that way. Kills this guy with his acid webs and little fangs. Basically, just these spiders start popping up everywhere in this store. We see various bodies basically serving as like egg sacks. They're like laying eggs in humans.
Ew, ew. And they're just like all being born.
Yeah. And so, but there's some that are big, that apparently the mommy spiders, and then like tiny spiders, like hundreds of tiny spiders. And then as they're still like fighting these spiders, the military guy gets knocked off the wall and falls forward, and his whole chest cavity explodes and like thousands of tiny spiders run out. Oh my God, it's so gross.
Ew, ew, ew.
It's horrible. And we see one of the big ones coming for Mrs. Repler.
And he was still like alive when that was happening.
Yeah. And we see one of the big ones come for Mrs. Repler, and she grabs a lighter and some hairspray and does like a flamethrower.
Yes.
And is able to kill one. Mrs. Repler is pretty cool.
Damn.
Then there's like a really big spider, and they basically, they've lost, I think, like two people to these spiders. They regroup. They're like, "Get the fuck out of here." Someone hits the big spider with a broom and gets it out of the way for enough for them to run past it. They run back to the store, like screaming, banging on the door, like, "Let us in, let us in." They let them in, and they made it back. But in the time that they have been gone, the man with the burns has died. So they're like, "Okay, well, we need to start figuring out how to get the fuck out of here." And Mrs. Carmody has like a full congregation now. She has like 15 or 16 people with her that she has just been preaching to that are just nodding. And I mean, I guess like you'd be desperate for someone to like lead you and tell you what the answers are. Oh my God, I was telling you how the other day I was getting too into Reddit and learning about reading about the psychology of QAnon, and it's not dissimilar of how you just want someone to give you
an answer to
an easy answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rather than accepting that life is just
shitty.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
Being alive is terrifying.
David and his little crew are very much like, okay, it's time for us to leave.
Yeah.
Amanda says, yeah, I'd rather die out there trying than in here waiting. They go to the military guys because they, after seeing the other military guy and the other thing saying, I'm sorry, they're kind of like, okay, well, something's fucking going on. Somebody knows something. They corner the guy who had a crush on Sally or a history with Sally and are basically asking him what the fuck's going on. And after the experience in the pharmacy, Jim, who was in the pharmacy with them and was the one in the beginning who was not taking it seriously and the reason that the kid got killed, he starts shifting to Mrs. Carmody's side as well.
Oh, no, Jim.
And we see him come in and start kind of nodding along with Mrs. Carmody's, whatever she's preaching. He's like, yes, yes, this is right. I like this.
Me and Jim was weak. We knew it.
Make some sort of sense out of the spiders that just exploded out of the man that I saw.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I can't really blame him for wanting some answers there. Ugh.
So at first, David is just kind of interrogating the military guy. The military guy's crying. He's obviously had a fucking traumatizing day, too. And
everybody has, I would say.
Everybody has. And he's crying and he said, I'm, you know, that's not my clearance level. Like, I don't know what's happening. But the rumor was that there were other dimensions that they had discovered and they were trying to make a window to other dimensions.
No.
And someone says, well, it seems like they made a fucking door. And the guy's crying. He's saying, like, I had nothing to do with this. Like, I was just doing my job. Like, I'm just a soul, like a boost on the ground. So, like, I don't do any of that shit. Like, none of this was my doing. And Jim overhears this happening and grabs the military guy and basically brings him to Mrs. Carmody and
no.
says, it's this. The military guy's name is Private Jessup. And he says, Private Jessup, like, this guy did this. He knows what's going on. He's the reason this is happening to us. And starts this big frenzy of people screaming, like angry at it. Like Private Jessup is going, like crying, like, no, like I didn't do anything. Like, I'm just like, I don't really know what's going on either. And like, please, I don't know what's happening. And
oh no.
And Mrs. Carmody's like saying, there's a Judas in our midst. We're being punished for going against the will of God. And she's giving this whole big speech about how walking on the moon, stem cells, abortions. Only God has any right to do any of that. We're
only
being punished.
God gets to walk on the moon. That's his play place.
And we're being punished for going against his will. And there's just mounting tension. Everyone's getting fucking crazy. And Jim just grabs a knife and starts stabbing Jessup. Stabbing him in the stomach over and over. Kills Jessup. David and Amanda and Ollie, like, their jaws drop, like they are horrified, like, okay, we're in this stage now of fucking free for all. This is a civilized society is no longer. Mrs. Carmody yells, feed him to the beast. And so they take, oh, he's like not quite dead yet. He's just like bleeding to death. And they throw his body outside. And we see one of a new type of creature now. It looks like a big, like, grasshopper type thing come and grab him and pull him away. We just hear his screams as he is taken away by another big beast.
Jesus Christ.
Big monster. And then Mrs. Carmody says, they'll leave us alone tonight because they've done their blood sacrifice now. So she tells them that it's safe for the nighttime.
Sorry, but I can't wait for her to die.
Yeah. It's nighttime now. People start laying down, quieting, like they're going to go to bed. David is putting Billy to bed and Billy's crying, saying, please don't let the monsters kill me. And he says, I promise I won't. And he falls asleep for a bit. And then Amanda wakes him up, says it's dawn. It's time to go. Like their plan has been to leave in the night while most people are sleeping, apparently. So they quietly wake all their people up that are wanting to leave. and head for the front door, and Miss Carmody and two other people are just awake, sitting there with knives guarding the door.
And they don't want people to leave because they don't want to lose their blood sacrifices?
I guess so. She says, "You can't go out. It's against God's will. Haven't I proven myself over and over and over, shown that I am his vessel?" She is drinking like from a glass, like gallon of milk or pint of milk, which I feel like is a, is a good little touch. She's just like sipping on her milk, being like, "Haven't I proven that I'm God's vessel?
Look at me, the most normal milk drinking lady you've ever seen." Milk is creepy. Let's just be completely honest.
Milk is creepy. We learned that in Let the Right One In.
You can't love milk. It's weird.
It's weird. No, you can have milk in as an ingredient in other things. You can't have a glass of milk.
No, under the right circumstances, I'll abide by some light milk drinking, but as an activity that, no.
You can't have a 16-ounce glass of milk in any scenario.
You can't be drinking milk from the bottle. No. You simply can't.
No. 4 to 6 ounces tops. In a short glass.
Yeah, for a very specific reason. Mm-hmm. All right, anyway.
So she says, "You're sinners in pride. You refuse to bend to God's will." She's screaming at them now. Everyone's starting to wake up and everyone's getting riled up. She's screaming. And she says the blood of the sacrifice must come from them. These prideful sinners, the sacrifice must come from them. And basically everyone on her side has gotten knives from somewhere around the store. So they all have big old knives. And she says, "Give us the boy." And Billy is in Amanda's arms, and they start grabbing for Billy. Amanda's holding on to him, screaming everywhere. David is fucking freaking out, but there's a group of people on him, kind of fighting him, punching him, holding him back, and they can't get the boy. Amanda's holding on to Billy so tight they can't get him, and then Mrs. Carmody says, "Kill the woman too, grab them both." They grab both of them, and they're getting them away from the group, and they've got Amanda and Billy, and then a gunshot rings out, and we see the glass of milk shatter, and it goes into Mrs. Carmody's stomach, and we see Ollie with the gun, and everyone screams and backs up. And Ollie shoots her right between the eyes, and she drops and dies. And Billy gets to David. Everyone is just like, whoa, drops back. Ollie's waving the gun at all of the religious fanatics, being like, back the fuck up. And everyone backs off. Gun beats knife. He's the only one with the gun. So they're able to make it to the front door. David says, "Thank you, Ollie." Ollie says he's upset that he has just done this. He's like, I didn't see any other way. I didn't want to kill her. I didn't want to do it, but I didn't see any other way. And he says,
right about that.
He's like, I know. That's why I said thank you.
Yeah. Also, like, she thought she was never going to die. So.
Mm-hmm. It's a good way to prove that she's a liar to everybody at once, really diffusing that threat.
Yeah, honestly, it was the right call.
It's getting light out. It's dawn now. So they run out. They're running to the car, a group of them, and they are getting picked off one by one. There's, you know, like 15 of them running out. So these are people we don't know. These are characters we don't know.
We don't care. No
picked off into the air, but our main core crew makes it to the car. And Ollie makes it there first and kind of turns to face everyone smiling like, "We made it." At that moment, you see a really fucking big thing, like a 4-story high building to size thing, grab him and whip him up into the air, and he gets, you know, ripped in half. His blood is pouring down, and the gun flies down from, he had the gun, and that flies down, lands on the hood of the car. And basically all that's left now that make it to the car are David, Billy, Amanda, Mrs. Repler, and Dan. So there's five of them that make it into the car. They close the doors. They're gathering themselves. It's silent now. They're looking around, seeing. Doesn't seem to be any creatures, any imminent threats at the moment. They're just sitting there in this moment of silence. And then David sees the gun on the hood of the car and opens the door to reach for it. And Amanda and Billy just start screaming, "No, David, no, no," which is like, don't scream, you dumbasses. Don't scream. Like, you could easily grabbed this gun quietly, but
I mean, I guess Billy, fine, you're a kid, but
yeah. Yeah, but they're all screaming, making a ton of noise, and so they're quickly get a creature to drawn to them. I think it's one of the bird ones again, or maybe the spider, I don't remember. And it like smashes into the windshield, but they're able to grab the gun, turn the car on and drive away. So it falls off and it doesn't chase them. So
these creatures, are they like giant versions of Earth creatures, or do they, like you said, the one was like pterodactyl, like they don't look like, like our world just didn't get like enlarged by the mist, did
no.
it? Or no.
No, they're all like, one thing I will say is they're all fleshy. Like they all look
Ew.
Like they all look like they are the same like material. Like,
<Ew. laughs>
like they're all kind of purpley fleshy. Like even the spider,
Ew, okay.
the pterodactyl, the big ones. Like none of them have feathers or scales or any, like it's all just
like,
kind of purple flesh.
Okay. It's interesting that like it's like a similar skin to the Quiet Place monster.
Yeah. Yeah.
Similar skin to a Demogorgon.
Mm-hmm. This is creature skin.
Creature skin. We're talking creature skin.
We're talking creature skin here. So they are in the car. They are able to start it up and drive off. First order of business, they go to David and Billy's house and quickly see his wife also encased in the spider web thing. She is dead.
Oh no.
She is dead up in the right out front of the house.
And that's a really bad way to go.
That's a bad way to go. But Billy is thankfully asleep at this moment. He's like on the course of the drive. I guess that'd be your first time to maybe be able to relax. So Billy's sleeping. So he doesn't see his mom's dead body, which we're thankful about, but everybody else does. They look very sad. They decide, I guess we'll just drive as far as we can.
Did Andre Brower die at some point?
We didn't see it happen, but him and a group of people went out and never came back.
That's right. He went with the people with the rope guy when the rope guy died.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. But
it's possible that he also died. I actually am not sure if he died or not, but we did hear screams when they all left. So I guess it's likely that he died.
Okay.
But we didn't see it. So yeah, they make a plan to just drive until they run out of gas, drive as far as we can. Maybe we'll get out of the mist if we just keep driving. So they drive, and as they're on the little highway, they see the biggest creature of all, the behemoth. It's what it's called in the book.
Oh, novella.
The novella, excuse me. And it's enormous, but it's so big that it like doesn't even notice them. It's just walking and it's just huge. It's just giant, like Godzilla size.
But is it like a big lizard?
It kind of almost looks like an elephant. I'll have to post some photos of the various monsters, because the creature design is cool, but also some of them look pretty funny. Like the flies in particular, their faces look like, you know, that like Pixar or Disney animated movie that's like robots. They look like that to me. They're okay. It's just like kind of like funny, almost animated looking faces.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, the creature design is pretty cool and creepy. And it's just fun that they're all different kinds of creatures. Like, I feel like that's fun that each time it's like a new variation on these monsters. So they see this fucking huge one and they're looking so like defeated, and they're like, we're so fucked. Like, you just see them like looking at each other. They're like, fuck. They drive till they run out of gas. They do not make it out of the mist. Mm. They like hear creatures screeching in the distance. Everything is looking pretty bleak. And David looks at the gun, opens the chamber, counts the bullets. They have 4 bullets. And he kind of looks around like, we've got 4 bullets. And Amanda starts crying. And she's like, there's 5 of us. Like, they're deciding that they want to commit suicide. And David is like, I'll figure something out. Like, basically volunteering that I will kill all of you and then die a horrible death at the hands of a monster. And so they all kind of nod, like they're all agreeing to this as they're just hearing the sounds of the creatures around them. Mm. So he loads up the gun and cocks it, and he's crying. They're all crying, and we see Billy wake up and look at his dad for a moment, and then it cuts to outside of the car, and you just hear a gunshot, and then another, and then another, and then another. And then we go back inside the car, and David is just sobbing, 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 sobbing. Everybody is dead.
Holy
it's really,
shit!
It's really sad, and his performance is good, and he is just like heaving that kind of Toni Collette and Hereditary cry.
Oh my god!
And so he opens the car door and starts screaming, come and get me! Like, come and fucking get me! And we like, nothing's happening, and he like drops to his knees again. He's like struggling to like keep any sort of composure. This is the worst fucking imaginable thing to happen. And then we hear something in the distance coming closer to him, and he looks and he's screaming like, yeah, like, fuck it, kill me. And it's a military truck. And as it approaches, the mist starts disappearing.
No, no.
And these are rescue trucks filled with survivors, and a bunch of them start passing by. And we see the woman from the beginning that had asked if anyone would help her to find her kids. We see her and her kids loaded in the back of this. And there's military people on foot with guns kind of shooting at things. We hear creatures dying. There's like explosions happening, and the mist starts clearing. And we basically just see that they're finally getting the upper hand and have defeated the creatures, and David, even more than before, drops to his knees and is fucking losing it. And a military guy is like, comes up to him, and is, you see him kind of looking at him like, what the fuck, and he just screams and screams and screams and screams, and that's the end of the movie.
Oh no.
It's so bad.
Oh my god.
Yeah. And I have to say that Jenna saw this movie not knowing what was going to happen, and had plans afterwards and canceled her plans. She just couldn't stop crying. She was like, I can't do it.
That is so fucking brutal. My god.
It's so brutal. And I'll also say that that is not how the novella ends. And I don't know how the novella ends, but that was a Frank Darabont change, that he made it end this way, which is very Walking Dead-esque. I feel like Frank Darabont loves this shit of like, and so does Stephen King, of just the human stuff always being the most upsetting, the scariest, the most disturbing of just. And I am fascinated by it as well, of like what humans would do at the, you know, end of civilized society when everything is gone. How would people react? And it's not going to be good. Emily's a shell. She's just, we've lost her. She's dead behind the eyes. She's just, oh.
Oh my God. Oh my God, it's so bad.
You feel really bad.
I feel so bad. Because yeah. It's also like, if it had been literally anybody else who made the choice to kill everyone, it would have been better. Like, at least he would have died with his son. He has to deal with that he just killed his son and, like, a minute later.
It's immediate.
He had to shoot his son.
It's, like, also very stressful to me that his son woke up at that moment and he still did it. Like, I feel like I would be like, okay, we'll wait till he falls asleep again. Like, I couldn't have that be my son's last moment of life, is like my dad pointing a gun in my face. Like, he has Billy has the moment of realization, my dad's about to kill me. Like, I feel like that's so horrible. And I feel like as David, I wouldn't have been able to do that. I would have been like, okay, well, we'll wait. We'll wait a bit. Get Billy back to sleep first, because I'm not going to fucking shoot him while he's looking me in the eyes. But he does. I wish you guys could see Emily's face. Oh, no.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a very traumatizing ending of a film, which I presume is why you guys chose it. And also, I was happy that Henley couldn't make this one.
Me too.
Because we brought her back for old, a movie that involves a baby dying. And so I would try to give her a little break from children dying for as much as we can.
Wow. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Wow.
So that's The Mist.
Well,
feel good movie of 2007.
This put me in a state.
Yeah. What do you got going the rest of the day to cheer you up? Got any pie left?
I have some pie left, actually. Yeah.
Good. You're going to need some pie after this.
I might need some pie right now. Wow, Sammy. Wow. Okay. That really did it.
Yeah. I'm sorry to ruin your day, Emily. I can tell this has been a tough one for you. Would you say that it is, how do we rank it among the other bad ones, which were Event Horizon and, what was it, Green Room? Which other one did you really have a bad reaction to?
I had a really bad reaction to Evil Dead.
Mm.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I just really didn't like it. I feel like there was another one in there, but we don't need to revisit it. I'm doing okay. I'm sad.
Yeah, it's a sad one.
I feel less like I wish I didn't exist and more just like, wow. Wow, you know?
Yeah. A great note to leave the episode on.
Man, just, I really am sorry. Let's do like a fun one next week.
Okay.
Yeah,
let's do some fun ones. Maybe our July bonus episode, August, I mean, can be like horror comedies or something. I can do Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, fuck, I love Shaun of the Dead. But thanks, listeners.
Tony Heads.
I'm glad to know. I guess I'm glad. Am I glad to know it? Yeah. It's a lot more than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
But now I know.
And remember that it's 2 hours and 9 minutes long, so... It's not a quick one.
Not a quick one.
Mm. But Tony Heads, we love you.
We love you. And we
will be back next month with more of that sweet, sweet content. Hopefully less of this empty shell of a feeling that we're leaving you with today.
We'll try.
We'll try. But, you know, that's horror movies, baby. Hey, that's show business, baby.
Hey, baby, that's show business. Hey, baby, that's the name of the game.
And we love you so much. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Too Scary Didn't Watch. If you like the show,
please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and give us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can follow us on social media at TSDW Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. And if one episode a week just is not enough for you, head on over to patreon.com/TSDW Podcast to become a patron and receive all sorts of extra goodies from us, including bonus episodes, trailer reactions, and more. And no matter what, we will see you right here next week for another episode. We love you so much. Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.